Wow. 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 This we pretty much expected. We did not expect this. We sure as hell did not expect this. Unbelievable. What a great episode of Raw tonight, right? What a great episode of Raw. We're going to talk about it. Good evening, everyone. Welcome, family. The Don Tony Show returns. This is your post-Raw show. And then some. I am Don Tony. What is today? June 6th. 6-6-22. I saw right before the show went live this very generous 50 spot from James Tutton regarding what transpired tonight with Judgment Day. He says, the Don strikes again. I called Finn Balor joining Judgment Day since the night Finn lost the U.S. title, lost in theory. That is true. But hot damn. Are you from the South, James? Hot damn. None of us thought they'd kick Edge out and so fast. Why do I think they did that? Well, sir, I mean, since it only happened moments ago, I haven't really thought about that all that. Oh, I haven't really thought about that all that much. Got to put my thinking cap on. My quick thoughts of it, maybe it has to do with Cody Rhodes being injured. You know, look, AJ Styles, you know, ever since we started talking about Finn Balor joining Judgment Day, one of the feuds that we really want to see is him versus AJ Styles. Finn Balor versus AJ Styles. Happy 17 months, so fly. Thank you for the kind words. Thank you for the kind words. Oh, by the way, so fly, there's some news about you tonight. Stay tuned. I'll get into it in a moment. I'm sure he knows what I'm talking about. I'm not stupid. Look, AJ Styles versus Finn Balor is a feud we all want to see. Riddle, I think, ultimately gets involved in this, but not so fast. Maybe with Cody Rhodes' injury, and this is, look, this is just my mind racing. We're not even an hour after that went down. My thoughts is we might have old school versus new school. I know Finn Balor is not new school. I know Damian Priest is not new school, but I think in the eyes of those guys, Edge has already had his time. AJ Styles has already had his time. Maybe Randy Orton ultimately returns if they don't do the turn on Riddle. Maybe we get AJ and Edge and maybe Randy Orton mixed in with that. I don't know. But I think that WWE really wants a veteran presence on Raw. A veteran. How many times did I say that WWE wants that veteran babyface to represent both brands? When Jeff Hardy, when everything went south with him, especially when they wanted him to do an NXT, AJ Styles stepped up. He was the veteran and helped a little bit. This is almost like what some of the veterans were doing for NXT stars, but to the next level with some Raw stars as well, but younger stars. And I don't mean that necessarily in age. I mean as far as tenure goes. Finn Balor's been there for a while, but I think a lot of us have felt for quite some time that Finn Balor's been stuck in the mud. So I wonder, with Cody Rhodes going down, WWE felt, you know what, we want Edge to be one of those older statesmen. And guess what? Edge versus Damian Priest, be pretty interesting. Finn Balor versus Edge, be pretty interesting. I'm talking one-on-ones. We'll see what happens. But obviously, no question, Cody Rhodes going down with this injury has shaken things up. Expect the rumors of Brock Lesnar returning sooner than later. Absolutely. Last week, Drew McIntyre issued the challenge to Roman Reigns at Clash at the Castle. Remember this thumbnail that I made? Now, obviously, Cody Rhodes is out of this, and Bobby Lashley will probably replace him, but remember what the agenda was that we talked about that no one else has. You know, Riddle was going to step up and want to face Roman. Drew McIntyre was going to step up and want to face Roman. Bobby Lashley yesterday, kissing the WWE Championship that the fan had, wants to step up and face Roman. Now, the only question is the veteran Randy Orton? Or do they possibly revisit Edge? I don't think Edge and Roman Reigns would happen again, but I definitely expect that veteran. Listen, just because Edge was kicked out of Judgment Day and left laying, unless there's an undisclosed injury that we're not aware of and they needed to write him off TV for the foreseeable future, Edge will still provide dividends for the Judgment Day. Edge feuding with them helps elevate them anyway. So just because Edge was kicked out does not mean Edge stops helping the Judgment Day. Now, obviously, they never prepared themselves for some outro music because when Rhea Ripley won the main event on Raw tonight, she now faces Bianca Belair at Money in the Bank. They had to play the Judgment Day music. And if you notice, you know, Edge's voiceover at the beginning, his intro, his verbiage, they didn't edit that out. So you actually still had to hear a part of that. That will be gone by next week. I'll be honest with you. I thought tonight's episode of Raw was really, really good. However, I honestly feel that the main event fell flat. You know, nothing against Doudrop. You can't have this woman lose over and over and over again and then expect people to buy into her in a fatal four-way, possibly facing Bianca Belair. That's almost as bad as what AEW is going to do with their interim championship. Look, I am a big-time AEW fan, there's no question. And no way, shape, or form am I trying to compare Doudrop to New Japan wrestlers. But with CM Punk going down with a broken foot and AEW deciding to have his title reign extended, there's not going to be no asterisk, and they want to do an interim championship instead, I'm fine with that. Totally cool with it. But when you realize that there's only going to be four people competing to win the AEW interim world championship, and two of the four are these guys. Liam Savage with the run-in. Happy seven-month anniversary. You could always run in, my friend. Listen, I'm not throwing shade at either one of these guys. Well, who the fuck thinks in their right mind that two of the four people trying to become AEW interim world champion should be fucking people from New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you fucking kidding me? That entire roster, this is Tony Khan living out the fantasies. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. First, we obviously got to talk about Raw. We have Raw in 30. We'll do news in 30. And then we'll do some questions in 30. I mentioned SoFly earlier. Congrats to him. Last week we did the NXT ratings predictions contest. The winner was going to get this autographed photo of Mandy Rose and this autographed photo of Liv Morgan. The actual rating last week for NXT, I think, was what, 534? I think it was 534, and he came closest with 537. So fly, you leave me your address on email, DM, and you'll get your photos. Later on, we're going to do some other drawings as well. We got some cool CM Punk stuff to give away. And we got Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey photos to give away. We'll do that a little bit later. But anyway, let's talk about Raw tonight. The hype of Raw tonight was obviously Cody Rhodes. We talked about it last night with the Hell in a Cell recap. And if you haven't checked it out yet, when I go like this, a magic link will pop up after the live show. Click on it, watch it. We expected him to get attacked and written off of Raw. We didn't think they were going to go to, if you tune into last night, we didn't think they were going to go the AEW route where he cuts the promo like CM Punk, tears in his eyes, respect from the fans, legit, not dissing it. WWE has always got to be storyline driven. So we expected Cody Rhodes to get attacked. And the telltale sign is when he's leaving the ring and he's saying goodbye to everybody because he's going to go get surgery on Wednesday, he's walking backwards. He's walking backwards. He's walking backwards. So you know somebody's going to blindside him from behind. And sure enough, it ended up being Seth Rollins. And I love this tweet that Seth Rollins posted afterwards. For the love of the game. And yes, that is a play on words with Triple H. Seth Rollins posted that on Twitter tonight after his attack on Cody Rhodes. But Cody Rhodes now written off of television. Now, I know I'm going a little out of place with the opening of Raw, but I want to make one point. You know, Cody Rhodes, this made a lot of news tonight. And honestly, people need to realize when Cody said that, it's prior to the Seth Rollins attack. Cody Rhodes mentioned that he's going to get surgery on Wednesday. He looks up at the Money in the Bank briefcase, which is in 4 weeks. And he says, if there's some way in 4 weeks that he could grab that briefcase, cash in, and become WWE Undisputed Universal Champion, he'll do it. That was prior to Seth Rollins attacking him. Cody Rhodes will not be in Money in the Bank. This is WWE storytelling. Maybe not necessarily at its finest, but this is, you know, part of their template. They want you to have that suspension of disbelief that there's a possibility that Cody could perform. I'm not saying anybody's going to buy the event or buy a ticket still thinking Cody's going to perform, but never say never. But the Seth Rollins attack eliminates that. And who knows? Maybe Seth Rollins wins that briefcase after all. Anything could happen. But Cody Rhodes comes out. He reflects on last night's match. I watched it again. And I don't know how you all feel, but if any of you out there watched that match two times, are you with me when I say, for some reason, it was 10 times better the second time around? Maybe because we saw it, kind of absorbed it, realized afterwards the magnitude and how good this match was. Because you already knew the outcome, because you already knew some of the incidentals, you watch it the second time around, and I appreciated it even more. That match was incredible yesterday. And Cody Rhodes cutting a promo, giving an emotional speech, saying that when his daughter grows up, she's going to see this match and she's going to be inspired. You never give up. And he gives a lot of props to Seth Rollins, even though they don't like each other. Seth Rollins is, without question, one of the best in the game. Seth Rollins comes out after Cody talks about the briefcase. That's why I think Seth may end up winning the briefcase. Because I think in storyline, once Seth heard Cody think that he may come back in 4 weeks and go for that briefcase, Seth Rollins had to put him out of his misery. Lay him out, get him off TV, eliminate the possibility of him and Money in the Bank. I think that's where the promo goes next week. Seth comes out, gets on the mic. He says he still doesn't like Cody, but after what Cody did last night, Cody has earned Seth's respect. And this was legit, everyone. The tears that Cody, you know, showed is legit. I am still very privileged to still have my father on this earth with me. I could only imagine the pain that some of you have gone through. And I know one day I will feel that pain. But when Seth Rollins says to Cody Rhodes that right now Dusty is looking down and he is very proud of his baby boy, storyline or not, that gets at your strings. And that was real. And Cody said that the night after WrestleMania, Seth said the night after WrestleMania, Cody came out and wanted to shake Seth's hand, so Seth was returning the favor tonight. Shakes Cody's hand, walks off, Cody's music hits. We get the 12-inch extended version of Cody saying goodbye to everyone. So now you think something's going to happen. Either he gets hit from behind or the lights go out. WWE doesn't make the lights go out all that often. So what happens, as we said before, Cody goes up the rampway, but he's walking backwards. And here comes Seth Rollins with the sledgehammer, lays out Cody, rips the shirt off, exposes the bruising. You know, I didn't pull up the pictures, but, you know, I'm shocked at how many people forgot when Triple H tore his bicep not too long ago. Tore his pec, I should say. Because Triple H went on social media and showed the pictures of the bruising, and it's not as intense as Cody's, but it's the same areas. So, you know, we've had wrestlers tear pecs before, and we have seen the bruising. Difference is we usually don't see them fight in Hell in a Cell a couple of days later, but, you know, the bruising we've seen many times before. So anyway, Seth Rollins lays out Cody. We go to commercial, we come back from commercial, and Cody refuses medical attention, and the crowd is cheering for Cody. We're already at the 8:30 hour, so this ate up half an hour worth of time, but excellent way to start off Raw. This writes off Cody now, eliminates any chances of him and Money in the Bank. Look, obviously, we may still have a little unfinished business with Cody and Seth Rollins. That's what we talked about yesterday. The only negative thing about Seth Rollins attacking Cody is that even though Cody said tonight he is done with Seth, it's over, it's not over. Seth probably will say next week, it's not over until I say it is. But really good match. Really good match last night. Really good way to open up Raw. Really good way to write off Cody Rhodes for the foreseeable future. Now, as far as the injury goes, if you do a little research, 3 to 5 months is pretty much the time frame, and you got to lean more towards 4 to 5 months because, you know, any of us can recover in 12 weeks from a torn pec. Problem is, he's a pro wrestler, and his strength is absolutely crucial. And not only repairing and healing, but rehabbing and being 110% of what you were before. And that's going to take time. You know, I know we have had some freak of nature incidents with John Cena where he came back earlier. This, though, unfortunately, you know, you could reattach it, and I'm sure the surgery will be a success, but be prepared that Cody Rhodes may not return to a WWE ring, maybe Royal Rumble. And I know what you're saying. Well, if it's 5 months, that's the end of the year. I get it. But if you have the Royal Rumble only a month later, you know, you want to build the return. So they may just hype up Cody's return at the Royal Rumble. And who knows? We said it yesterday. Maybe Cody Rhodes wins the Royal Rumble now. That's why it is so early to predict Money in the Bank, to predict SummerSlam, to predict Royal Rumble, to predict even WrestleMania now. This definitely puts a monkey wrench in a lot of things. But look, injuries happen. And I think people realize now that all this doom and gloom that people were painting and Roman Reigns takes a little time off. He did that last year. All right. I'm sure his presence will be back with it either this Friday or next. But Cody Rhodes wasn't even on the roster 2 months ago. When people are saying, oh, that's a major blow for Cody Rhodes and WWE. Yeah, for Cody Rhodes and, you know, the planned storyline. But for WWE, nah, man, Brock hasn't even come back yet. WWE fans are going bonkers for Bobby Lashley, if people haven't realized. They could elevate him. I don't think Riddle will end up with any gold from Roman Reigns, but you have a lot of bullets still in the gun to fire creatively. So Cody Rhodes being injured is obviously a big step back. But I'll say this with AEW as well. CM Punk being injured is obviously a blow to them as well. But they have plenty of people to step up and pick up from there. No one person is going to hurt these companies. Roman Reigns, yeah, he became the head of the table. He became the number one wrestler in WWE, but he was also out for a long period of time with leukemia, and he was also shitted on by a large part of the fan base. The roster is not that much different from back then. Yeah, they've released a whole bunch of people, but they haven't released anybody that you look back and you're like, wow, this person was a much bigger draw than Roman Reigns. They'll be fine, just as AEW will be fine. So that's, and John Cena will be making his return. They announced it tonight on the TV that on June 27th, 3 weeks from tonight, John Cena will return. Some people are now claiming that he may face Austin Theory at the Money in the Bank. I think that might be a little bit too premature. I still think WrestleMania is more of a possibility. But June 27th is a very important day, because June 27th is exactly 20 years ago to the day that John Cena showed up on SmackDown. Ruthless aggression! And he laid out Kurt Angle. Did not win the match, but still decked Kurt Angle, and the rest is history. It'll be exactly 20 years. I hope WWE brings back maybe Kurt Angle as well. Maybe a look, I think Edge now has got to pay a little respects to John Cena that night. Does Randy Orton come back in time for this? You think that some of his foes from yesteryear should appear on that Raw. So I expect a big surge in the ratings for that night. But who knows? Maybe John Cena sticks around for a little while. Maybe he can work a couple of matches, you know, with Cody being on the shelf. John Cena might be the special attraction, you know. So that will be 3 weeks from tonight. We also had tonight Miz TV with Maryse to hype up season 3 of Miz and Mrs. They're in the ring discussing Money in the Bank as well. Miz is talking as if he's going to be in the match too. Mentions that whoever wins Money in the Bank has an 85% chance of winning. Remember when it used to be 100% chance? Was Corbin the first one to screw that up? I don't remember. I don't remember if it was Corbin, but we had a couple of people fail at cashing in the briefcase. Yeah, Thomas, it's been 20 years of John Cena. It does feel like a long time. No doubt. 20 years, though, feels a little bit longer, you know. But, hey, guy could still go. He's still young enough. We'll see what they do. But Miz is out there with Maryse, and they end up getting interrupted by Riddle. Riddle trying to talk a little bit of French. Bonjour, omelette de fromage. Mi chiamo Riddle. I almost sound Italian saying that. So Riddle gets on the mic, and there's the challenge to Roman Reigns. He's fed up of the bloodline and the minions and everything else. He wants Roman Reigns. Then he gets into a little bit of an argument with Miz. And then we get the chant of the night. And I'm not saying that as a good thing. Tiny balls. Tiny. Pretty funny to see children. And now look, I'm not one of those naughty, naughty. But it's pretty funny to see kids in the crowd going, tiny balls, tiny balls, tiny balls. So Riddle says that Miz has tiny balls. Maryse says he's got average balls. He's got big balls. He's got huge balls. He's got the biggest balls in the world. We heard too much balls tonight. So Riddle tells Miz, prove that you have a set of balls. Fight me tonight. Miz says, no. Ciampa, who I am extremely concerned about with his WWE future, he comes out, and just like with Mustafa Ali, just attacks Riddle for no reason. I guess the storyline is he wants to make a presence. So he attacks Riddle, walks away. Miz sees Riddle laid out and says, you know what, I changed my mind. I'll have the match after all. And Riddle beats Miz at some point because Miz was in a tux. You know, Riddle rips the pants off and he had like boxer shorts on. He got the tiny balls chance. You know, it was a fun segment. I mean, the crowd absolutely loves Riddle. But, you know, this was more just to plug Miz and Mrs. So, all right. Now, I know how some of you felt about this tonight. We had the Street Profits over and over and over getting championship contenders matches, facing RK-Bro, losing to RK-Bro. Yes, they beat them once, but then they got the opportunity, and then they lost. And then they were in other matches, and they lost. And now because RK-Bro are not champions anymore, they get a championship contenders match. And what happens? Somebody's got to face the Usos for the time being. They win. And they win by countout. Usos don't get pinned. Basically, this is your typical Uso Street Profits match we've seen before, which is a whole lot of fun. We get your quintessential, beautiful-looking frog splash from Montez Ford. And, you know, if he would have lifted his arm, he might have been able to slap that briefcase on the way down. That's how high he gets. But after Montez Ford hits the frog splash on Jey Uso, they start brawling outside the ring. You get a little bit of a distraction. Riddle arrives, and what happens? Montez Ford runs back in the ring at 9.5 with the referee count. Usos don't make the bell. They win by countout. So in the future, we will have the Usos versus the Street Profits for unified tag titles. Again, you know, this is why the belts are unified for the time being, because there aren't enough top-tier tag teams, not named the New Day, that could take on the Usos. You keep going to the same people over and over and over again. It does not feel like Los Lothadios has been built up at all. It doesn't feel like Sheamus and Ridge Holland is a tag team that WWE really wants to push. Butch should be just on his own, technically. You know, there's other tag teams as well, but no one who is a viable threat right now for the Usos tag titles. So you unify the titles. You know, if the Usos were only SmackDown champions, then what happens? What would we be seeing on Raw right now? Alpha Academy versus the Street Profits. Street Profits versus Alpha Academy. Maybe Riddle teams up with Nakamura again. You know, now we'll probably see Finn Balor and Damian Priest as a tag team. Sure. But up until tonight, that wasn't a possibility. So this is one of the reasons. The unified tag titles will not be permanent. By the end of the year, it should be split back up. They'll know when the time is right. And look, give props to Riddle. Give props to the Usos. They're working both brands. They're getting paid overtime right now. Because WWE figures, you know, we could release 150 people and we'll pay a handful of people that are willing to work both brands, and we'll also reward them in the process. So these guys are making extra money. Yeah, they're probably getting paid someone else's salary who was let go. But the flip side of it, you don't have enough tag teams to really have two strong divisions right now. So the Street Profits, they get the win, they get the future shot. Now, something that I really want to talk about, and this is something I was going to wait till the end, but let's bring it up now. What a missed opportunity tonight for WWE and Becky Lynch. When Becky Lynch took on Dana Brooke for the 24/7 championship, if anybody that didn't tune into Raw that's hearing this for the first time, yes, you're hearing this correctly. Becky Lynch took on Dana Brooke for the 24/7 championship, and she lost. You want to know what the big missed opportunity was tonight? And I honestly believe each and every one of you out there is going to agree with me what I'm about to say, because this was my mind racing earlier. Becky Lynch, if you remember the opening promo last week on Raw, that she was very hesitant about appearing on Raw without her gold, without her baby, without her precious, my precious. They could have done a storyline tonight that Becky Lynch is so desperate to have gold that she'll even take the 24/7 championship. The problem with what they did tonight was they had Becky Lynch in the ring with Dana Brooke before Dana Brooke won the 24/7 title. What they should have done tonight was they should have had Dana Brooke beat Akira Tozawa. And after Dana Brooke wins, Becky Lynch's music hits. She goes down the ramp, pissed off, gets on the mic. Anybody's going to win gold, it's going to be me. And she should have issued the challenge to Dana Brooke for the 24/7 title. And everybody would have been like, what is she, nuts? She's one of the greatest women's champions. Got 24/7 title? Yes. You're so desperate. It's like walking in a desert and you got no water. And you need that water. You want that water. You crave that water. You're desperate for water. So you'll drink anything. There could be a standing puddle of water with flies all around it. That's what they should have done tonight. What a missed opportunity by WWE. Somebody in the back probably had some idea of what they wanted to do, but they missed it. They missed it. Because if you're going to have Becky Lynch take on Dana Brooke, because remember something. When Becky was in the ring with Dana, she had no idea that Tozawa was going to come out. Remember, it was just going to be a one-on-one match. Next thing you know, Tozawa comes out, the rest of the 24/7 crew comes out, and that's how this all went down. They should have let Dana Brooke win first, and then Becky comes out. Yeah, Asuka came out anyway and cost Becky Lynch the match. But what a missed opportunity. It's not the rise and fall of Becky Lynch. That's the storyline. She's so desperate for gold. Remember, she was walking around right after WrestleMania with a replica title. People saw her walking around with a replica title. That's what they should have done tonight. She's so desperate for gold, she'll even go for the 24/7 title. They didn't do it. Missed opportunity. She ended up having a 24/7 title match, but that's not the reason why she was out there originally. What happens? Match lasted 2 minutes. Asuka comes out. Becky gets distracted by Asuka. Dana Brooke goes for a pin. Asuka holds Becky Lynch's leg down so she can't kick out. Referee, I don't think it would have mattered. It's the 24/7 title. It's no disqualification, right? I don't think there's any disqualification. I mean, we've had disqualification, but would Dana have been disqualified? I don't think so. So, yes, look, Mike, the 24/7 title is junk. WWE's not going to admit it's junk, but it's junk. But still, in the fans' eyes, oh my God, she's that desperate. It's like somebody who has to be in a relationship with someone. And because they hate being alone, they get involved with the lowest of the low just to feel like they're with somebody. You know, there's so many different scenarios. So they blew that tonight. Let me know how you think about this. Because when I saw that, I was like, oh, WWE. And I didn't tweet it because it would have taken me too long to write it. And you know what happened? Somebody will copy my tweet, and they'll post it, and get 5,000 likes. Like, hey, you're a genius. So I'd rather be a genius towards all of you, not social media. So, all right, Bobby Lashley comes out, huge pop. He talks about how good it felt to put MVP in a Hurt Lock yesterday, and he's ready to move on. And before he could even address what his future plan should be, didn't actually call out Roman Reigns tonight, didn't get a chance to. Theory's music hits. And Theory is like, you're stealing my spotlight. You're stealing my time. And Theory says, Lashley, you needed someone to beat these guys yesterday. I needed nobody. So the next thing you know, they're arguing whose ring it belongs to. They're arguing who has the better bicep. Hey, I got... Maybe I'll go like this. Hey, everybody. No. They're arguing who has the bigger bicep. And then Lashley says, hey, how's about we have a match? by the way, you put that title on the line. And Theory starts running down. It's too scripted.
You know, there's no question you have beaten some of the greats like Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton, but you've never beat me. It's too scripted.
So Lashley just pretty much scares him out of the ring. Fuck out of here. And Theory runs away. So are we going to start getting Theory versus Bobby Lashley? I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know. Veer Mahan versus Dominic Mysterio. Dominic fought valiantly, but unfortunately, Veer Mahan, too powerful. I don't know why Rey Mysterio caused the DQ. I mean, Veer Mahan was going to put on his finisher. Okay, the finisher hurts, but this is pro wrestling. And Rey teaching his son to fight, fight, fight. But Veer Mahan, Dominic hits the 619. Dominic hits the frog splash, only gets a one count. Veer with the $1 million clothesline. And then he goes to put him in his finisher. And then Rey just decides to hit the ring, attacks Veer a little bit, 619. If I was in storyline next week, Dominic should complain to his dad. I don't know why he would wait an entire week in front of a camera to do it. But he'll say, Dad, you know, I really appreciate what you did for me, but, you know, I could have finished the match myself. Oh, okay, son. So go fight him again. And then this time, Veer will probably put him in that finisher. And then maybe Veer doesn't break it wider right away, and maybe Rey doesn't do anything. I don't know. Liam, I have not been working out. I have just been dieting, trying to lose 20 pounds before my wedding. I'm on my way. If you notice, you know, you can see it a little bit. Look at some episodes from about 6 months ago. You'll see a little difference. So, Veer Mahan wins by disqualification. So now we get what we have been waiting for. Early on in the night, we find out that there is a new member of Judgment Day. So important that WWE had a countdown clock, similar to what they were doing with Cody. Countdown to the Judgment Day's new member. And we get it at the 10 o'clock hour. And look, I appreciate what James wrote earlier, but the night that Theory beat Finn Balor for the U.S. Championship, I said, I think Finn Balor, they got to mix it up a little bit, put him on Judgment Day, and the rest is history. Yes, later on, a lot of other people were saying the same thing. It's not that because people are smart, but we've all been very observant that Finn Balor is too good to be in this situation he's in. And yes, a lot of that is at the fault of WWE creative. Sometimes you got to force a narrative in order to get something done. So we all felt, you know what, Finn would be a great addition, but how do you get to that point? So Finn losing a few times, and yesterday, as we pointed out, he was the one pinned in that match at Hell in a Cell. So we get the Judgment Day, they hit the ring. And first we get Rhea Ripley, you know, little bit too choreographed as well, but, you know, she's still finding her place and she's doing a good job. I can't criticize her. Damian Priest, little stuttering on words. I think, you know, he's getting there as well, but, you know, he disses the fans a little bit. And then Edge, now the adult is in the room. And he talks about how he's got 30 years in the business, tells everybody to shut up. He puts over Rhea Ripley, puts over Damian Priest on how far they have become and grown since they've been part of Judgment Day. And he said that someone else was listening to the message. And they all looked down the rampway to see who was going to come out. And lo and behold, it's who we all thought it was going to be. It was Finn Balor. And Finn Balor comes out. Now, as he's walking down the rampway, Corey Graves is playing off like, well, maybe Edge, you know, this isn't who Edge was talking about. Maybe Finn Balor, this is a ruse. Maybe Finn Balor is not walking down the rampway, you know, to be part of Judgment Day. Because when Finn Balor came out, he did his regular entrance. I can't do it too perfect because then I'll hit microphones and we'll have a disaster. But he does his whole entrance and the crowd is doing it with him. But as soon as he enters the ring, he's smiling. Judgment Day is smiling. And sure enough, Finn Balor shakes his hand. And we realize Finn Balor is now a part of Judgment Day. So Finn Balor gets on the mic and he says that he's sick and tired of what's going on. Edge admits that he was surprised to hear from Finn Balor. And Edge, little seed planted early on, that Finn Balor originally reached out to Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley. So they had a conversation that Edge was not aware of. Finn Balor now has clarity. He thanks Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest for helping. He was very impressed when Rhea Ripley stood between him and Edge last night. If you remember when he wanted to hit the coup de grace, and Rhea Ripley just stood right in front of Edge. Finn Balor focusing, if you go back and watch it, focusing just on Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest. He realized that they all have a lot in common. And all three of them are tired of being told what to do. So Damian Priest then starts talking to Edge, talks about everything that Edge has done for them. And the Judgment Day, Damian Priest is ready to shed, the one last thing that is holding them back. Damian Priest looks at Edge, says that Edge is that thing that's holding them back. And Edge realizes, oh, fuck. Damian Priest lays him out with a clothesline. Finn Balor, Rhea Ripley, Damian Priest, all laying the boots on Edge. Edge tries to fight back, but the numbers were not in his favor. Unfortunately, AJ Styles busted open really bad yesterday, was not at Raw tonight. Unfortunately, no one else in the back decided to come out and make the save. Not even Gulak. I know. Storyline, you know, everybody's out getting ice cream. So they drag Edge outside the ring. Damian Priest hits the razor's edge through the announcer's table. And then they rip off a piece of a chair. They get back in the ring and talk about a visual. Talk about a visual. Rhea Ripley taunting Edge. Edge seeing his life before his very eyes. Finn Balor with the piece of the chair in Edge's mouth, just pulling back like a crossface. And then the final nail in the coffin, they hit Edge. That doesn't look good. That looks better. They hit Edge with the concerto. So now if you look at it, technically, I guess Edge should be out of action until maybe Money in the Bank or a week before. I don't know. But they destroyed him, put him on a stretcher, taken out. We will not see Edge, I believe, for the foreseeable future. But now, you know, the question is Finn Balor now the leader of Judgment Day? I don't think there's going to be a head on this snake. In fact, if I was Judgment Day going forward, maybe they should change their name. Think about it. Judgment Day was a name created by Edge. Obviously, it's got the history with the pay-per-view. Do they keep the name? That's a question we all need to think about. Do they come out and have a clear-cut leader, or is everybody equal? These are questions that I guess, you know, should be answered, and I believe will be answered in the very near future. But my, oh, my. None of us. Listen, anybody that you come across that now says, oh, I knew all along they were turning on Edge. You know, I mean, just politely say, good for you. Good for you. And then just walk away. And they'll be like, that's all I get? That's all I get? I don't get a little bit of, bodily fluids to the face in appreciation? Really, really good twist. I don't care how much you dislike WWE. You have to admit, this was a really, really good swerve. We don't get swerves not named Strickland. We don't get swerves like this much ever anymore. You know, I'm not comparing this to the House of Black, you know, but this certainly wasn't a Julie Hart joining the group. We don't get swerves like this pretty much ever anymore in wrestling. So this was great. If it was sped up, because I think a lot of people will be left tonight, why'd you do it so fast? Why so fast? Why not build a little bit of animosity towards Edge? So I don't know why they went on the fast track. But again, maybe Edge needed some time off. I won't be surprised if we hear, maybe it has nothing to do with injury. Maybe it's something personal with family. Maybe he needed time off and they wrote him off of TV. Maybe they expedited it because of the Cody injury. All I know is what I saw tonight, I liked it. But here's the thing we all got to think about. We're still at three members of Judgment Day. Are they going to add any more people? Or are we just leaving it with three? So that's something to pay attention to going forward. You know, a lot of people think that Ciampa should have been part of this group. You add Ciampa now, you only have four, not five, because Edge is no longer part of the group. So we will see what happens. We'll see what happens. Omos destroys Cedric Alexander in about 40 seconds, and then a really weird, just sloppy, I think is the best way to put it. Omos and MVP aren't even outside the ring yet. And here's Kevin Patrick standing near the back of the arena, and he introduces the Dirty Dogs. Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, they are back. And, you know, MVP and Omos aren't even walked down the rampway yet. So MVP gets on the mic. He's like, you know, don't disrespect us like that. It just felt forced and unnecessary. And the next thing you know, Dolph Ziggler super kicks MVP. They run to the back. Omos and MVP chase them. So is this their way of feeding Omos two more people? I didn't like the segment at all. Zeke beats Otis with Chad Gable in his corner in a very, very quick match. After the match is over, Ezekiel is talking about a rematch with Kevin Owens. He wants one more match with Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens goes down the rampway. First, he's like, are you nuts? I just beat you. And then Kevin Owens is like, wait a minute. No. Yeah, I'll fight you again on one condition. You admit that you're Elias. You admit to everyone that you're Elias. So Ezekiel, a little hesitant, looks at the crowd, thinking about it, and Ezekiel admits. He says, I am Elias. Kevin Owens is static. You got your match. See, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. And Ezekiel then says, oh, I took a page out of your book, and I'm not Elias. I lied. So next thing you know, he kicks Kevin Owens, lays him out. Kevin Owens gets out of Dodge, and somehow the match is still on for next week. So, yeah, I agree with you, Mike. I think Ezekiel may end up getting the win next week. So now we get the main event that we were talking about earlier. Sorry. We have Alexa Bliss versus Liv Morgan versus Doudrop versus Rhea Ripley. The winner takes on Bianca Belair at Money in the Bank for the Raw Women's Championship. This match was flat, in my opinion. Crowd didn't seem really into it at all. I don't believe it's a case that they were just drained from the Cody stuff, drained from the Judgment Day stuff. This didn't feel, it didn't have that urgency. It didn't have that star power. You take away Becky, you take away Asuka. Again, no disrespect to Doudrop, but the way she's been used the last couple of months, she's a non-factor. I don't think anybody really expected Alexa Bliss to be taking on Bianca this fast. Liv Morgan, I think, was probably the odds-on fan favorite in this. But Rhea Ripley, after what happened earlier in the day on Raw, Rhea Ripley was the pick that everybody should have thought was going to win here. And look, I'm not saying that Bianca Belair should lose that championship already. But I guarantee you, you're going to see a lot of people online that are going to say, give Rhea Ripley the belt, especially with the momentum that Judgment Day is having. In fact, we may end up seeing some gold in that camp sooner than later. I don't know. I haven't thought about this all that much yet. But Rhea Ripley gets the win. She hit a very sloppy finisher on Doudrop. Barely got her up. I don't know why, because Doudrop, you know, gets dropped about this far from the mat that she's knocked unconscious. You know, they're more about she accomplished the feat. It's not about the magnitude of the power to knock someone out. It's like, oh, if you could get her off her feet and execute a move, even if it's a power slam, even if it's a regular slam, even if it's just a side slam, that you could beat Doudrop. And I don't know, I didn't like this match. After the match is over, you got Judgment Day standing in the ring. All the women got out of Dodge, and Rhea is staring down Bianca Belair, and Bianca Belair is staring back like she's a little concerned. And, you know, it was a good episode of Raw. I mean, look, the Cody and the Judgment Day stuff in itself makes Raw. I mean, you take a couple of other segments and nothing was going to call this episode. This was one of my favorite episodes of Raw. There's obviously it could have been that much better with some of these other segments that we saw. But the Cody stuff with Seth was tremendous. The Judgment Day stuff was awesome, incredible. And, you know, not a bad episode. Now, main event results from tonight. Ciampa over Reggie. Mustafa Ali over T-Bar. And, you know, I'm concerned about T-Bar as well. I mean, Ciampa, if they don't put Ciampa in Judgment Day, look, I hate saying stuff like this. I think Ciampa's days are numbered in WWE. And I like Ciampa. I mean, you know, I know his relationship with Triple H is like this, but, you know, business is business, and anybody could be released. I mean, you know, lower on the food chain, obviously. Okay. Couple of quick news tidbits. Then we'll spin the wheel and give away a couple of prizes from this past week's watch parties. WWE and A&E are bringing back Biography once again. And remember, when they issued the press release in March, didn't they say that they were going to have 35 episodes of WWE Legends? So we have the next list announced. There is still quite a few more that are going to be released. And remember, they're doing one for Dusty Rhodes, too. Obviously, now with Cody in the company, Cody will be contributing. In fact, I heard from places that he's going to narrate it. But the WWE Legends, starting July 10th, which is coming up soon, we got The Undertaker debuting this next batch of WWE Legends. We get The Undertaker, Bill Goldberg, Lex Luger, Kurt Angle, D-Generation X, Rey Mysterio, Edge, the Bella Twins, and WrestleMania 1. So that is your next set of WWE Legends on A&E Biography. They also announced on July 10th, they're going to be releasing WWE Rivals and Freddie Prinze Jr. Remember, we talked about him wanting to start his own promotion. He's going to be doing a roundtable discussion, getting into storylines and feuds and some of the examples, Austin versus Rock, Bret versus Shawn, Undertaker versus Kane, Cena versus Edge. Those are some of the examples. And then you got WWE Smack Talk, which is going to be hosted by Booker T and Peter Rosenberg. So pretty cool stuff there. Ratings from this past week. Let's pull them up. Where are you? Here you are. Here's your ratings. All right. SmackDown, pretty decent number. 1,939,000. They almost hit the 2 million mark. Rampage, back in its time slot, 475, but I think they might be back at 6 p.m. this week. Impacted 116, pretty much what they've been doing. Dynamite did 969. NXT did 534, as we said earlier. Raw last week only did 1.5 million. I expect that to go up to 1,750,000. Could they hit 1.8 million? That would be surprising. But I think 1.7 million plus, definitely possible for Raw this week. Now, let's briefly talk about the situation with CM Punk and AEW. I have some good news. Oh my God, I should have said this earlier. For all of you out there that have been asking me to bring back a Wednesday night show after AEW Dynamite, I have some good news and I have some bad news. It's not necessarily bad news. The good news is this Wednesday, I will be returning. Wednesday night Dynamite returns Wednesday night, 10:05 p.m. Eastern, right here. The bad news is, I think ultimately, what we've been doing on Thursday, we will be doing on Wednesday instead. One of those days, I got to take off. It's not just recharging batteries, but I spend time with my family. Wednesday or Thursday is the day that I always do it. So if people want me back here on Wednesdays, especially after Dynamite, to do a show dedicated to AEW and NXT, then that means Thursday is off. So this week, Wednesday, definitely returns. And do not forget, I could tease it now. It'll be official in a little more than 24 hours. Wednesday, June 8th, I will be on Pro Wrestling TV. The first, they said I'm a reaction show. I never looked at it like that. I thought I just opine, I give opinions. We cover news, obviously. But, you know, when I was approached by Blue Wire to have my audio shows there, I mean, obviously, if you go to that channel, I am amongst royalty. You look, I mean, everybody there is a big-time show. You go to Pro Wrestling TV, and they've only been around for about 2 months, and I am once again around royalty. This is big. It's huge. And I've been teasing. Yes, I am controlling my narrative. There were some very interesting things made in the discussion outside of my shows. I don't want to make any promises. I'm not saying I'm going to be doing more, but starting Wednesday, all of my video shows will be available on Pro Wrestling TV. Go to my Twitter, go check out the link, go install the app, whether you have Roku, Samsung, iOS, TV, you're going to see my shows everywhere. And this is a pretty big deal. And the cool thing about it is, you know, and I'm not saying this to be a dick, but, you know, I didn't reach out to Blue Wire. I didn't reach out to Pro Wrestling TV. And the reason why I'm saying this is a message to each and every one of you out there that either do shows, want to do shows, or expect to do shows. Never underestimate who is watching. You never know who is watching. And do you know, after doing this 25 years, do you know how good it feels to have Pro Wrestling TV or Blue Wire approach me and say, yeah, we've been watching your shows. We love your energy. We love your style. We love what you do. We love your relationship with your audience. I refuse to call everybody fans here. I call everybody friends and family. I've been doing that since 1997. And they asked me, would you like to be part of our network, our family? So that is the awesome thing about it. Now, you know, right now, it was supposed to be just the Monday show and Saturday. Originally, it was supposed to be just the Saturday show. But when Mish left and Mondays became just me, that's when Pro Wrestling TV said, you know, we want Mondays too. So the deal ended up being bigger than what originally was. Originally, you would just had the Saturday show there. But now, since I'm solo, not Solo Monster, but solo, everything is going to be there. So Wednesday, I break my cherry. I can't freaking wait. And this is all because of you. And I'm not saying I had to kiss your asses. You know, everybody that wants to fuck with me will just look at YouTube and say, oh, you only get 4,000 views. They don't understand that 90% of my audience only enjoys the audio part, because I did that for 23 years. Not everybody wants to see my face or my fake biceps, you know? So this is awesome. And it's an opportunity that I wasn't going to pass up. So Wednesday it all begins. So Wednesday, join me here. We will have some fun. Now, all right, let's talk briefly about CM Punk. Obviously on Rampage, there was a lot of confusion. He was relinquishing the title, and then he relinquishing the title. He has a broken foot. It requires surgery. Now, I don't believe it's the ankle. I don't know for 100% certainty. If it's the broken foot, they probably have to reset a bone. Might have to get pins put in. I'm not saying permanently, but they may have to put pins to hold something in place. When I had my car accident in 1996, I had to get two pins in my toe. And for about 6 to 8 weeks, I had two pins sticking out of my toe. I could not put a shoe on, obviously. So I don't know to the extent of how involved this surgery is for CM Punk. But from what I have been told, it's not tremendously serious. His out-of-ring time, they're estimating 2 to 3 months. So it's not, you know, I don't want to compare the injury to Cody's. Obviously, Cody's completely torn off the bone. It's, you know, very, very serious injury. But CM Punk, you know, this is more of just the bones healing. He should still be able to work out to some extent. Obviously, can't put weight on that foot. But CM Punk, right now, the early word is that he'll be out 2 to 3 months. Believe it or not, that's not that long, especially that AEW does not do pay-per-views every single month. You know, let's be honest. You look at Hangman Page's run. You look back to how many matches he had since he won the title. What was it, 4? I mean, obviously he had 2 epic matches with Bryan Danielson. But after that, you know, Takeshita, you know, Adam Cole maybe twice. He probably had 5 or 6 matches. But my point is, you know, it's not out of the ordinary to see someone in AEW only wrestle 1 or 2 matches over a month, month and a half's time. 2 months is not going to be that big of a deal. And trust me, I guarantee you, CM Punk will be shown on TV. He will be doing guest commentary. CM Punk will still be involved in the product, even though he can't step in the ring. We'll probably even see some heels kind of tease CM Punk because CM Punk can't wrestle right now. And maybe someone will try to bait him to fight in the ring, even though he can't. Maybe to do some type of, you know, no, don't do it. So it's not going to be a tremendous amount of time. So look, CM Punk, it's an unfortunate injury. Freak accident. Shit happens. As much as we complain sometimes about some of the behavior of CM Punk or his verbiage outside of the ring, especially towards some fans, as we talked about before, you don't want to see anybody injured like this. So instead of them relinquishing the belt, they're doing an interim championship. Now, my honest take is if he's going to be gone for at least 3 months, they should have taken the title off him. And they should have promised him a title match upon his return. End of story. He's going to have a 3-month-plus reign and not defend the title at all. So, you know, you look back on it, oh, let's celebrate CM Punk 1 year as champion, and you realize 3-4 months of it, he may not have done anything. So, because it doesn't seem like it's going to be as long as originally feared, I don't have a problem with it. What I do have a problem with is what they're doing for the interim championship. I wrote this on Twitter, and I'm going to show you the press release. And then we'll get into the cliff notes about it and how stupid this is. Okay? This is AEW's press release that I have on the screen. And they decided they're going to do an Eliminator series. Take note that it's not necessarily a tournament because there's only four people that are going to be involved with this. And this is how they're doing it. And I'm going to read it for you word for word. The multi-stage Eliminator series will feature an exciting battle royal featuring many of the top competitors in AEW, which will open a broadcast of AEW Dynamite live this Wednesday, June 8th, in Missouri, with the winner advancing to compete in the main event. So if you follow it so far, they're going to open up with a battle royal. The winner of the battle royal will fight again Wednesday in the main event. The same night, the winner of the battle royal will meet former AEW world champion and number one ranked Jon Moxley in an eliminator match in the main event of Dynamite, with the winner advancing to compete for the interim AEW World Championship at Forbidden Door on June 26th. Meanwhile, on June 12th, at New Japan Pro Wrestling's Dominion, we will have Hiroshi Tanahashi take on Hirooki Goto, and they will face off in an eliminator match for the interim AEW World Championship, with the winner advancing to Forbidden Door on June 26th, live on pay-per-view. The winner of AEW's June 8th Eliminator match will face the winner of New Japan's June 12th Dominion match at Forbidden Door June 26th to crown the new interim AEW World Champion. And it goes on and on and on. When I saw this, I thought about people that I used to hang out with in the past that were stoned, that used to love smoking weed. As you read this press release, you see how long this shit is. Doesn't this remind you of someone? You're hanging out with someone. You're not stoned, but they are. They smoked a couple of doobies. And you're just sitting around and you're having pizza. And like, hey, Joey, you want a piece of pizza? Yeah, I have a piece. And he's looking at the pizza and he's like, bro, do you realize that how much is involved to make pizza? You have all these fat Italian women in Italy, and they're stepping on the tomatoes. And then because of the tomatoes, then they got to put it through this puree process. And then they got to grow all these herbs and spices in the garden. And then they take that, and then you got to milk cows. And then the milk somehow magically turns into cheese. And they talk for a fucking hour about how to make a piece of pizza. Why don't you just fucking say, AEW, we're going to have a battle royal. The battle royal winner faces Moxley, and then Moxley faces the winner of Goto and Takeshita at Forbidden Door. Why are two of the four people in this New Japan pro wrestlers? This should be Hangman Page. This should be Jon Moxley. This should be Brian Danielson. This should be Eddie Kingston or someone else. Those four, mother. Oh, but it's Forbidden Door. We have to have Japan take on America. Fuck you. This is a special circumstance. I couldn't believe that when I saw it. You're having two of the four people in this tournament wrestling from New Japan. I'm sorry. You look on social media right now, you see all these people. Oh, this is going to be an amazing match. Obviously, it's going to be Moxley. Or obviously, they're not going to have New Japan have a champion for AEW. It's going to look bad on the run. Then why the fuck you put the New Japan wrestlers on it anyway? How awful is that? What? Because Wrestling Observer, who loves Japanese wrestling. I love Dave Meltzer. Why? Because they'll give coverage. Because of the fake marks on social media that will turn around and say, oh my God, Goto, look, this is real. You see the goosebumps? This is real. The fuck out of here. It makes no sense. You're doing rankings. Paige lost the championship. Technically, he should be the number one contender. Oh, but they're all going to be in a battle royal. It doesn't matter. One half of this match to crown the new interim champion is somebody from New Japan. Tell me that fucking logic. There is no logic in that. That is as illogical as Maki Ito being in the Owen Hart Memorial Tournament. Just listen, let's call it like it is. If you notice on social media, when I call things out, 99% of the people out there do not react to it. Because if they hit that like button and you see other radical AEW fans, how could you like that? You agree with that? Oh, so you're not really. That's what goes on. You can't express an opinion. So people will just, oh, this is an epic, amazing, unbelievable. Oh, it's going to be a five-star match. It doesn't fucking make sense. Nobody in New Japan Pro Wrestling, unless they've been wrestling in AEW for an extended period of time, they have no business being in a tournament to crown an interim championship. I don't give a shit. Well, CM Punk chose those two wrestlers. I don't care if Jesus Christ came down from the cross. I don't care if Allah, I don't care if the Lion King, I don't care who the fuck it is, comes down and says, Goto, Takashita, Gaganita, Kutabata. If they're not AEW wrestlers, you're putting a slap in the face of all of those fucking wrestlers that compete. Makes no sense whatsoever. And nobody out there has the balls to say that because, oh, I can't criticize AEW. That is awful. That is stupid, and it is asinine. You have wrestlers in your company that eat, bleed, shit, and bleed and shit again, AEW. Oh, but they're all going to be in the Battle Royal. Doesn't fucking matter. Just stupid. Absolutely stupid. Totally, totally illogical. Illogical. Yeah, but it's Forbidden Door. AEW's got to wrestle New Japan wrestle. Well, then, you know what? Don't fucking do the match at Forbidden Door. People are going to go to Forbidden Door, and they're going to watch Forbidden Door no matter what. Nobody in New Japan should have the privilege of becoming AEW interim champion. And even if they do, you think they're going to fucking stay in the United States for the next 3-4 months? In the end, neither one of them are going to win the belt. And what the fuck are you putting them in there anyway? Very, very stupid. Very stupid. Yeah, so here's the Cliff Notes, everybody. There's your press release in three sentences. Battle Royal to kick off Dynamite. Winner faces Moxley. Gets a shot for the interim title at Forbidden Door. Faces a New Japan guy. There's your Cliff Notes. The fact that Tony Khan had to go on Twitter and explain why John Moxley is a number one contender should tell you why this is wrong in the first place. Because he had to announce John Moxley in the main event of Dynamite. That's why he did it. He had to announce a name in advance, try to get that rating. That's the only reason why that's done. Because if he didn't announce Moxley in the main event, what he could have done is Battle Royal. The two remaining participants in the Battle Royal face each other later on. Moxley could have been in that Battle Royal. Someone else could also have been in that Battle Royal. And the final two people in that Battle Royal is Moxley and the other person, and then both face each other later on the Dynamite. But because he had to get Moxley's name out there to pop ratings, he had to explain. That's the facts. That's the facts. And I'm not yelling at you all. I'm just frustrated because that's stupid. That is stupid. And because of what you see going on online, no one will speak out on it. Because they don't want to get dissed and disrespected and be left out of the cool kids club when it comes to AEW stuff. Now you got writers that feel like they're contributing to this great storyline with MJF and Tony Khan. You have writers that are actually manipulating their reports because they feel, hey, I'm helping out the storyline. You're a fucking reporter. Be a fucking reporter. If you don't want to be a reporter and you want to do that instead, then don't do both. That's awful. That's awful. All right. Quick. We talked about Jake Atlas last week being arrested. We got into what happened. You know, obviously, most of you by now know who he was romantically involved with and who this incident involved. I have from a very, very reliable source. Now, look, I'm not the court system, and I'm not trying to jump a gun and say what the court is going to do and not going to do. But from what I understand, that right now what's going on with Jake Atlas at this point is paperwork. He has to go through a process. By the end of June, it is most likely these charges will be dismissed. Jake Atlas does not have a criminal history. There was alcohol involved. It's not, you know, a justification, but this is not normal of the actions of Jake Atlas. To call the cops, obviously it was a scarier situation than you would think. You know, the way we read the report last week, it sounded like something from the National Enquirer. It sounded like a steamy sexcapade thing. But in the end, you know, it's expected that Jake Atlas, the charges will be dismissed against him. I'm just, again, it hasn't been dismissed yet, but at this point, they have to go through a process. I've been there, I've done that. We talked about that before. And I unfortunately had to wait several months before everything got tossed out. Even though the court knew, even though the lawyers knew, even though the cops knew that my ex lied. They heard the recorded conversation. And still, I had to sit and just suck it up and bite my tongue and gnaw at my teeth and wait until they said, okay, everything's closed. There's a process, just like Tammy Sitch. When Tammy Sitch, and it took that many weeks before they arrested her, you know, we talked about it. You know, when I had that conversation with Mitch that time, he said, you know, couldn't they have just simply blood test result 3 days later and, you know, you arrest her? There's a big drawn out process when you go to courts, especially where she can end up in jail for 20 years. The courts want to make sure they did not take any shortcut, because any high paying lawyer could pick up on that, expose that in court, charges thrown out. So we'll see what happens. We will see what happens. All right. We'll take questions in a moment. What I'd like to do, take only a minute. This past Friday, we had a Rampage watch party. And the winner of this, from this watch party, gets, that is, look at the screen, a CM Punk AEW trading card. A CM Punk autographed UFC rookie card, a CM Punk AEW ice cream wrapper, and a CM Punk WWE toothbrush and toothpaste sealed in the package. You have it sitting right here. And I don't know why Cena is on the front. Yes, I know, because they feuded. So somebody that was hanging out with us and active during the watch party is going to win that in a moment. The other giveaway was from the SmackDown watch party Friday, and someone is going to win that autographed photo of Ronda Rousey and that autographed photo of Charlotte Flair. Now, I will tell you that tomorrow's watch party, which is for NXT, what we are going to give away is we're going to give away this beautiful photo of Bianca Belair that is from WrestleMania. If the outfit looks familiar, you will get that autographed photo, and then you will also get a Becky Lynch photo. I'm going to let the person choose. Do you also want a WrestleMania picture of Becky before she lost that championship? Yeah, we actually got photos from WrestleMania autographed. I tell you, the person who is hooking me up from WWE, you know, when people say, wow, you're giving away a lot of stuff from WWE, they must have given me about $2,000 worth of signed photos. I mean, every week or two, I get an envelope in the mail. I open it up and I'm like, holy shit, look at all this stuff. So, because they know I'm not going to put it on eBay. I'd rather just give it away here. So somebody tomorrow who joins us live, and remember, there is no purchase necessary. Just show up, hang out, watch a little NXT, chat with everybody, and you're in it to win it. So without further ado, that is the first watch party. And as you could see on the wheel, I know the letter is a little small, but that's the only way I could really fit everybody on there. So everybody that was not only at the watch party, but was active is on this wheel. And I'm going to spin it right now. And whoever it lands on is going to get the Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair photos. And look, if you want to be part of this, All you got to do is show up at the watch parties. We're always giving stuff away. So, good luck. Let's see who it lands on. And I double-checked. There's no duplicate names. There's no duplicate entries. You can only win one contest, though. I think that's a little fair to everybody. Kevin Milwaukee. Mr. Milwaukee gets the Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair signed photos. Very, very cool. Congratulations, Kevin Milwaukee. Now we go to what I think everybody was looking forward to. That's a little too small. Let's do this way. All right. The CM Punk prize package. Again, you know, we don't want to have one person winning everything because I think that pisses everybody off. So Kevin, unfortunately, can't be part of this drawing, but let's spin the wheel. Let's see who it lands on. Good luck, everybody. All right. Who gets the CM Punk package? I don't know if you should use the toothpaste. Who is it? Aphrodite Crush. Aphrodite Crush. She is a newer friend in the watch party. She's been to a couple. So Aphrodite Crush. I hope you're a CM Punk fan. Now, if any one of these two do not claim their prizes, I would say within the week, then it'll go back into the tank and we'll do a future giveaway. So Aphrodite, congratulations. Very, very cool. So, all right. So we've talked about news. On Wednesday, we will talk about AEW, NXT. We'll get into Matt Cardona a little bit because he's going to be out for about 5 months as well with the torn bicep. There's a few other news tidbits we'll get into, but Wednesday will be AEW, NXT. And then starting next week, we'll also do the channel members Q&A. That'll be part of Wednesdays as well. So, yeah, we're going to move everything from Thursday to Wednesday. So, for everybody who's live, if you have a question that you'd like for me to answer, and since we've gone a few extra minutes tonight because obviously we had a very big Raw, I'll stick around for about 20 minutes. So just put the word question before your question so it stands out to me. Obviously, if anybody super chats, not required, always appreciated, they will go to the front of the line. But all right, let's get into it. What questions you got for me tonight? If I could call any match from the past, this is from CJ Rocks, with any commentator, dead or alive, who would it be and what match would I call? I would love to have called Hogan Rock. I mean, I would have sucked horribly, but you know what? I would have loved to have heard Bobby the Brain Heenan calling Rock Hogan. I think that would have been amazing. I don't know if it should have been Heenan and JR, or maybe you have Heenan, JR, and Jerry Lawler, because they did an amazing job. Listen, let's also say this, and I really appreciated everybody who did do this yesterday and today. Props to Corey Graves for his commentary yesterday with Cody versus Seth Rollins. Some of you may not realize it right now, but people are going to look back to that match, not just because of what happened to Cody, but his commentary was so good. And people last night, after I did the show and I couldn't fall asleep right away, I was looking at a lot of love being shown for Corey Graves. He was trending for a little while yesterday. When I saw all the compliments about the commentary, I watched it again, and I paid more attention. Because you got to remember, when I'm doing a recap last night, I'm taking notes, I'm typing things, trying to summarize it so it doesn't sound robotic on the show. Last night, before I went to sleep, I got to just sit there and absorb it, full attention. And that was amazing. He did a phenomenal job yesterday. But I would have loved to have seen or heard Bobby Heenan be part of that commentary team for Rock Hogan. I think that would have been amazing. So, Rams fan, I didn't add you to the wheel. Hold on. No, you're on there. No, you're on the wheel. Yeah, look. I double-checked it. Believe me, I checked everything. Where are you? I don't want any controversy. Rams fan is, where is he? Where is his color? He is the green one. Wait a minute. Why do I not see Rams fan on here? Hold on a second. Holy shit. Rams fan, you're not on this. Ah! All right, you know what? Damn. I got to hook up Rams fan then. I don't know. We'll figure something out. I don't know why that happened. That's strange. I'm looking right at this, and for some reason, you're not on here. I don't know why that did not. Maybe there was a limit of the people on there. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'll hook you up. If I have an extra of that stuff, I'll take care of it. No, it wasn't a screw job run. There was a lot of people, and I'm serious. I almost want to, you know what? I almost want to share my screen. In fact, I will share my screen here. Just before we go further, this will take literally 10 seconds. I am going to put up web browser. I'm going to type the link. Hopefully this pops up. I think it will. Oh, no. It'll ask me for login. Yeah, I can't show it. I could share a screen, but it's going to be a pain in the ass. But we'll figure it out, Ransom. No worries. If I have duplicates of those photos, and I might, you know, we got to stack like this. So, all right. Doesn't mean you would have won, but still. All right. Garth is asking, a lot of AEW fans are worried about AEW Fight Forever might be a disaster because the game is still not finished. No, don't worry about it. People are excited. People want the game released. AEW wants to make sure everything is working perfectly. Obviously, you're always going to have glitches. That is something they're going to address. They want it to be right off the bat. And look, there's going to be features in the game that are going to be different from WWE. The machine, the whole frame, the frame of it is different. So it's taking a little bit longer. People want it done yesterday. And sure, AEW wants it out as quickly as possible too. But it's not ready yet. We just got to be patient. Listen, it's drama online. I wouldn't worry about it. Guero, shout out to you, my friend. Your name doesn't pop up, but yet you're a member of the family. So, Guero, shout out to you. Bray Wyatt teases are a joke. He doesn't see him returning anytime soon. What do I think? I think Bray Wyatt is coming back. I have been saying since he left that if he was going to come back to wrestling, it was going to be for WWE. He did the movie, and his asking price is pretty high. And look, Bray Wyatt now is going to be married to JoJo. He's got a family. He's 1 year plus older than what he was before. You know, your responsibilities, your views change a little bit. And, you know, his career is not going to be forever. So he loves pro wrestling and he wants to be back. But obviously, you know, he wants to be treated like one of the elite. And I think that'll happen. I think maybe towards Halloween. I'm not saying that he should be back strictly because of Halloween, because who knows? He may not even come back as the Fiend. I don't know if I want him back as the Fiend. Hell, you know, it'll never be the same because Brody Lee is no longer here physically. But, man, if he came back as the Wyatt family, that would be epic. Wonder if you could put some other group together. Would he fit in Judgment Day? I don't think so, right? Judgment Day is more like, you know, the dark, like you see in a biker bar and stuff like that. But I think Bray Wyatt will be back. That's his home. That's his home. And when he comes back, you will definitely see a tweet that says he's home. He always used to say, we're here, or he's here. I think it's going to be, we're home. That's what I see. Mark Hicks, I am absolutely a fan of the Oakland spot. I just hated what they did earlier with Kevin Patrick and the Dirty Dogs. It was just a hot mess. There was no reason for the Dirty Dogs to come out there before Omos, and it was forced. But I love the Oakland spot. I love that they call it that. We had the gorilla position, and I like the Oakland position. I like that. I want to see more of that. Give me more of that, WWE. I absolutely love that. Runners asking, would I strap up Wardlow? I do not know what you are talking about. I'm kind of afraid what you mean by that. I would watch Wardlow. I would manage Wardlow. I would even buy him lunch. That's all I would do. Roderick, could we see the MJF storyline leading to a double turn with Punk and MJF after Punk returns and regains the AEW World title? Well, he's still got the title. It's just that he will face whoever is the interim champion. Look, it's good. Here's a question that I would love for everyone to think about, that I guarantee you nobody thought about. Will the AEW interim champion defend the interim championship? It's not a guarantee. I expect it, but it's not a guarantee. So whoever wins the interim championship may not actually be the interim champion by the time CM Punk returns. But believe me, it has crossed my mind. You know what I would do? As crazy as it sounds, I'd have Fuego del Sol or someone else, can somebody under a mask be in that match and win the Battle Royal, beat Moxley, pulls the mask off, and it's MJF. I don't know who you could do that with. Serpentico? That's what I would do. If MJF is suspended, banned, this is Sinet, put him in the Battle Royal, let him be Serpentico, let him win it, pull the mask off, fuck you. I'm going to Forbidden Door. Rams fan. If I answer the question, we even, does Kenny Omega come back early to be in the Battle Royal? You know what, Rams fan? You know what I could give you? I got those autographed Vince McMahon photos. You could throw it on eBay and get $300, $400 for it. If you get a PSA authenticated, I got about six of them. If you want that instead, I'll email you the two pictures and you choose which one you want. One of them is from the WWE video game, I think, from 2016. The other one, I don't recall. But all right, does Kenny Omega come back early to be in a Battle Royal? No, I don't think so. Kenny Omega, if he returns, he's back to stay, or he doesn't come back at all. You don't want to reintroduce that just as a teaser. So I say no. If he's ready to return, yes, but I don't see it. Dominic Gibson, I like, you know, a lot of new questionnaires tonight. Questioners. Who would I bring into AEW to help Tony Khan with creative? Gabe Sapolsky? Kari Silken? Yes, I know the Ring of Honor background. I bring those two in. A couple of veterans, Hall of Famers, can't hurt. I would think Jake the Snake Roberts offers a little opinions. You could get a few people. Those would be a few people that I would love to see. I think they do need some outside. They need a constructive catalyst. That was something that Dixie Carter was missing, and that is something that AEW is absolutely missing. They need someone to look at the opposite side of things and say, hey, Tony, you know, he says red, I say blue. He says black, I say white. You think this is good? I say why it's not good. Constructive catalyst is very, very important in a successful business. You want someone to play devil's advocate. And everybody is petrified to play devil's advocate. You know, with Vince McMahon, yeah, I remember having a conversation with Stephen DeAngelis back in the time. And the Yes Men behind the scenes in WWE. Anybody that was surrounded by Vince McMahon had to be yes people. Yes, Vince, that's a great idea. Absolutely, Vince, that's a spectacular idea. Vince, I couldn't have thought of anything better. That is tremendous. They couldn't turn around and say, oh, you know, Vince, man.
Excuse me?
Yes, men. Larry the Comic. Who would I put in the main roster, WWE stable, using both and female superstars, both male and female? Who would I put in a main roster, WWE stable? If you're asking me, like, NXT stars, male and female, wow, that's kind of tough to think right off the bat. I mean, they would have to be similar in look and style. If you wanted to have an, see, like Survivor Series, if you had a bunch of people from NXT show up on Raw or SmackDown, they want to be part of Survivor Series, be Team Survivor Series. I would put Bron Breakker in there. I would put Io Shirai in there. If she is 100%, I would definitely put Santos Escobar in there. Solo Sikoa I would put in there. I'd even argue putting Carmelo Hayes in there. I don't know if I would put Mandy Rose or Toxic Attraction, but Alba Fire I would consider for sure. I mean, I could see a Survivor Series team like that. Why not? Early predictions for Money in the Bank winners, Rob. We don't know who's in the match yet. My original reaction to tonight, Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins has that briefcase and teases it. I could see Riddle. We were talking about it yesterday. I could see Riddle going down the scooter and he's got the briefcase in one hand. I could see Riddle climbing that briefcase. Drew doesn't need it. Drew's got a title match. Cody is injured. Bobby Lashley should be able to get a title match just based on his merits. So whoever it is, it's got to be a gimmick. I could see Seth just tormenting Cody. Cody, look what I got. Ha, 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 Cody. I could see that. So those are just two guesses. Run, absolutely, people have had injuries visible like that. Usually they don't compete, though. You get a torn bicep, a torn, look at Triple H. I just mentioned it earlier. I have the picture here. In fact, I even found the picture of mine when I tore my bicep, but my bruising was nowhere near the level of theirs. Plus, I waited too long to take the picture. Yeah, here's Triple H. Here you go. Yeah, I was going to actually post this yesterday. A lot of people forget about this. This was obviously a little bit afterwards, but yeah, there you go. Triple H tore his bicep or his pec back then. This was a very popular picture. I mean, we've seen bruising like this before. You know, it's definitely happened, but yeah, I'm not posting my picture. I'm looking at it right now. That's embarrassing. I got titties. I'm not showing that. No, thank you. But yeah, no, we've seen people. Look, didn't Terry Funk one match have like crazy black and blue on his chest or his back? Somebody wrestled and had a crazy, I don't remember the wrestle, but some of you may remember now, but when I say it, their lower back was all bruised and it looked really, really bad. I'm sure if you just type WWE back bruise, hopefully something would pop up, not named Cody. But yeah, we've seen some vicious bruising in the past. We just don't remember it. And I'll probably look tonight before I go to sleep. So, all right, 5 minutes, and I'm going to call it. But remember, we'll be back Wednesday instead of Thursday. So, Gable Steveson is still training. There's really no rush to bring him in right now. There's no storyline either. They're just taking their time with him. And that's the right way to go. There's absolutely no reason to rush him to the main roster. Once he's ready, he'll be there to stay. If I own a wrestling promotion, that's too complicated, Roddy. What female, male superstar from any era would I build my promotion around? Well, all right, that's actually not that bad. Female, I would choose Medusa. Medusa was tremendous. She's also attractive, and she could, you know, back it up in the ring. I would have Medusa on the female side, and on the men's side, I put Brett. Why not? Brett, technically sound, maybe not spectacular around the mic, but I would put Brett. You could put, you know, if you want to go more sports entertainment, you could choose Hogan, Savage. Maybe I would choose Savage. But, you know, you look in the annals of history, any Hall of Famer is not a bad choice. But I could tell you on the female side, I would probably go with Medusa. Because Medusa, one thing that a lot of people forget, she would have incredible Japanese-type matches, and then she'd have incredible Gaga sports entertainment matches. She could branch out. She didn't have just one limited style. Medusa gets a lot of love from me. All right, Guardian of Chaos. Much love, my friend. When I was active, I don't want to say in the business. I really, you know, I don't look at it like that. Did I ever get potatoed, given a receipt, or stuffed? Okay. I honestly feel like some of the wrestlers that I got attacked by, like Jason Static, Tony Lowe is another one. When I told them, lay it into me, I'll take it, lay it into me, because I thought the ultimate realism is getting legit hit. And I think for those guys, I think it was more like, okay, you know, oh, Kevin Matthews, excellent example of it. You know, wrestling is, you know, is an art form. And anybody could bash something over anyone else's head and think they're a wrestler. So sometimes for the realism of it, I'm like, look, you have the strap, whip me. I don't care how much it hurts, just do it. You're going to hit me with a chair, go balls out with it. And I think for some of them, I think they were like, I don't think he realizes what he's saying. And for my own good, I think they were like, okay. And that's probably what happened. They definitely did not hurt me and they weren't trying to, but you know, I think they were trying to school me a little bit. I had segments sabotaged. My debut ever on camera, when I managed Abdullah the Butcher for that match, I was supposed to manage some indie scrub, and I hate using that term, but some indie guy. And he got so scared, he ran out of the building. I played the footage not too long ago. My debut on camera, I'm in Club Amazora with 1,400 people in there, and I'm out there, and they hit the guy's music, and nobody comes out. And then I see the Masked Maniac, and he's like, you're not going to believe this, everyone. He left. He got scared. He left. He legitimately left. And my segment was sabotaged. So now I have to improvise. I've never been on camera before. And people are laughing at me. And then I started thinking about insults when people used to insult me. And I looked at a guy. It's all on video. And I said to him, I said, you couldn't get a girl wet if you dropped her in a pool. And I was just thinking of things like, right? And then I was like, if anybody wants to come out here, you know. And then Abdullah came out. And the rest was history. That's when I stapled Louis afterwards. But the New Jack in the Box segment that I wanted to do with New Jack, that was sabotaged by Sean the Mick. Before the segment even happened, he was at the gorilla position and he told New Jack, go out there, go out there. And he fucked it up because he hated my guts. So I've had people sabotage a lot of my ideas. But no, everybody was always respectful. But those guys were trying to teach me the lesson, like, you know, no, you don't have to get hurt to tell a story. And I appreciated all three of them, Kevin, Jason, all of them. They would do it. Kevin Matthews is a big dude. He's a good guy, man. It's amazing that, you know, I actually watched him wrestle almost 20 years ago. So, and he's doing good with his promotion now. Kevin Matthews is good people, man. Very good people. I forget if it was Raven and Sandman versus Homicide and Reefer. I think that was the match. I was managing Homicide and Reefer, and I think the opposite side was Raven and Sandman. I didn't interact with him at all. I had the privilege of hanging out with Raven a bunch of times, you know, before and after shows. I've always said Raven to me is the greatest independent wrestler of all time. Greatest. Not because of wrestling ability, but that guy knew how to make money. That guy, I would go to shows, I would just sit there in amazement, and he'd be selling photos, autographed shirts, getting everybody to go to his table. He would wrestle Gaga matches. I watched him wrestle Al Snow once in Jersey All Pro Wrestling. They wrestled for 40 minutes and they did nothing. For about 10 minutes, they mimicked like 20 wrestlers' finishing moves. They did nothing, almost nothing for 40 minutes. Crowd went home happy. And we were just watching like, I can't fucking believe this. But I was in amazement, in appreciation. Raven, to me, is the greatest independent wrestler of all time. Just based on his success making money. He may not have the money now, but believe me when I tell you, that guy, the ultimate hustler, but he always worked hard. Always worked hard. And Raven is one of the funniest people I ever came across. Funniest. Aphrodite, you won earlier. You won the CM Punk stuff from the watch party. Congrats. Al Snow's doing autograph signing at a mall near your apartment. Chaos. Al Snow's a good guy, man. I'm a big fan of Al Snow. He's funny, funny guy. And, you know, very underappreciated as well. Okay. Let's bring this home because I know it's getting late. Very early. Five favorite wrestlers of all time. Terry Funk, Magnificent Morocco, Cactus Jack, Jimmy Snuka. Five. I'm drawing a blank right now, and I know later on I'll be like, fuck. I can't think of a five right now. But those are four. Those are four. Maybe Hogan. Because I was a Hulkamaniac growing up. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have not been a Hogan fan for a long time, but I will always appreciate the relationship I have with my grandmother because of Hogan. But yeah, I give you four. Who's the wrestler most surprised not inducted in the Hall of Fame? Bam Bam surprises me. Bundy surprises me. Celebrities, Andy Kaufman should have been put in a long time ago. Miss Elizabeth should have been put in a long time ago. Those are a few right off the bat. Demolition should have been in, but Demolition's not in my like top five or top 10. Don't get me wrong. Demolition's one of my favorite tag teams of all time. You go back and you watch those matches. I mean, they didn't do as much as you think they did. I liked more of the Masked Superstar. And I kind of liked, you know, Smash when he was Repo Man, you know? I mean, Demolition, the music also made it as well. You know, listen, if Demolition were around these days and the Road Warriors are around these days, a lot of people say, oh, they're Road Warriors ripoffs. You had a few people that said that back in the day. I've always been a fan of China. Totally, totally sad what happened to her. I talked to members of her family after everything that happened. I have said this before. I would bite my tongue in the past because I was always afraid of being sued by this guy. I cannot believe that guy that was involved with China. I think his name was Anthony also. I can't believe he never went to jail. To me, it was Anna Nicole Smith all over again. That guy enabled China. And then after China died, he took a lot of her stuff that the family should have had ownership to, and he hocked it. That guy, I can't believe he never went to jail. I can't believe it. The stuff that was told to me privately, I still can't believe that guy's never gone to jail. Awesome questions today, man. Awesome. You know what? We're at an hour and 50. Let's go like six more minutes. Because the questions have been phenomenal. I think we had a tremendous episode tonight. And I'll stick around for like five more minutes. Keep in mind, it's already over here almost 1 in the morning. So I got to get up tomorrow. But hope you join me Wednesday. You know, we'll, you know, I don't expect the live audience to be that big because a lot of people are not going to realize that I'm back on Wednesdays. But starting next week, what we've been doing on Thursday, we'll do the same format on Wednesday. It'll be AEW, NXT discussion, news, and some Q&A mainly from our channel members. So we'll do that. All right. Nier did not know until recently that Smash and Repo Man are the same person. Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't he also Blacktop Bully? Breaker 19. He was Crusher Khrushchev. He had a lot of gimmicks when you really think about it. All right, Mr. Milwaukee. Platinum Max and Montez Ford need to throw their respective partners through the barbershop window. No, I disagree with Montez Ford. Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins are great. I'm not saying that Montez Ford would not be a single star, but I kind of like them as a tag team. It's one of those tag teams that I don't want to see split. Max Caster, I don't know, man. I'm a fan of Anthony Bowens. I mean, I personally think if you throw Anthony Bowens through the barbershop window, Anthony Bowens will never peak. I think he obviously needs Max Caster more than Max Caster needs Anthony Bowens, but I wouldn't split either team. They work great together. They bounce off of each other. It would feel different. Thank you, Roger, for the super chat. Much love, my friend. I thank you very much. And believe me, tomorrow I am going to need a cup of Java. So I will definitely be grabbing stuff. By the way, I am going to go off of keto soon. I have decided I'm going to drop anywhere from 5 to 10 more pounds. Probably 10, and then when I hit that 10 pounds, I'm going to stop keto. I'm going to just be very careful with my diet, but if I want a little pasta, I'm going to eat it. So the quicker I lose the 10, the quicker I can have a plate of pasta. So, is the draft still on? Yeah. You figure September, October? Draft is still on? Absolutely. Yes, Roger Rubio is my personal barista. I have definitely bought in some cups of coffee, especially on the weekend. And I'll say, thank you, Roger. And then my fiance's like, who? And I'm like, oh, yeah, Roger bought me coffee. And she's like, who's Roger? I said, don't worry about it. She doesn't mind. As long as instead of Roger, as long as it's not Rhea or Rhonda or Alicia or Elizabeth, you know, if I say Roger, it's okay. But if I say, oh, Elizabeth bought me coffee, who? Who does Hangman Page feud with next? Good question. I thought he was going to get a rematch with Punk. That's obviously not going to happen. It could be a member of the Blackpool Combat Club. I don't know. A lot of people think that Hangman Page should turn heel. I'm not so sure. I mean, I'm sure he could probably pull it off. I don't know. Right now, we got Forbidden Door. And right now, you're going to see New Japan people show up. It's going to be an expensive run-ins, very expensive run-ins. But if you notice, even last week, that or 2 weeks ago, that Khan guy, he showed up, and then he disappeared again, but he appeared on other indie events. That's when, you know, when you see people show up, it's not Forbidden Door. It's, oh, we all worked out a deal that he could wrestle for 5 different promotions, and we split the transportation and hotel fees. That's why these people are coming in. You notice, what's his face? I can't remember his name right now. But he came in, one of the New Japan wrestlers, and he appeared everywhere. Impact, GCW, CZW, everywhere. Lex Luger was not going to be the face of the WWF, even if he won the championship against Yokozuna. He would have been like the American hero at the time, but I don't think it would have lasted. You know, we were all into the Lex Express, but it always felt like something was missing. It felt like something was missing. I don't know how long he would have been the focal point. Minoru Suzuki, thank you, Harris. Yeah, remember Minoru Suzuki came in? And like, oh my God, Forbidden Door. And then GCW, blah, 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 Impact Wrestling, here they are. And they're like, oh, okay. Minoru Suzuki didn't come in because of AEW. He came in because, hey, we got 5-6 different promotions to all use him. So you pay the hotel, we'll pay the airfare, will you pay this, we'll pay that. Everybody split the bill. And you get to enjoy the wrestlers. You ever see somebody from New Japan show up? And usually you will see them appear on like 5 different promotions while they're in the States. So, but that's smart business. Okay, next to last question. Back in 96, did I think WWF was starting to go into an edgier direction? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was rabid fan of ECW. You would see more chairs being used. You would see tables being used. You would see more expletives. Steve Austin coming around at that time as well. It definitely felt like it was getting edgier. Bringing some ECW wrestlers on Raw. Jerry Lawler feuding with Paul Heyman a little bit. You know, it felt a little edgier. And it got edgier. I loved it. I loved it. One of the most successful VHS tapes that I used to sell on eBay was when ECW invaded Monday Night Raw in 1997. I used to sell that VHS tape on eBay for $14.95. I must have sold at least 400 or 500 copies. And I would buy the tapes. I still have tons of blank tapes boxed away somewhere. I'd buy the tapes for about $2 a copy. The shipping would cost me $3 or $4. I'd sell it for $14, $15. Another tape that I made crazy money off of, I sold on a VHS tape. Get this. The Beulah Penthouse Video, the Kimono Wanalea Striptease, Chastity, the Live Bait Session. I still have that original Live Bait movie somewhere. And the Tonya Harding Wedding Night video, because she did that promotion in Mexico. I think she did AAA at that time before that. And Pamela Anderson, Tommy Lee on the boat. I had all of those segments on a VHS tape, and I sold it on eBay, $15 a pop. I must have sold 500-600 copies. And I always told that funny story. When I went to the second or third XPW event, I'm hanging out in my hotel room with, I think it was Vic Grimes. And Vic Grimes said to me, he goes, next time you come, could you bring that tape you're selling on eBay? I'm like, sure. And I brought him the tape. True story. True story. All right. We're going to get out of here. I want to finish right at the 2-hour mark. I want to thank you very much, as always. Spectacular show tonight. I thank everybody who hung out for the majority of the night. Everybody on the replay, much love as well. If you know anyone out there that you think would like the channel, post the link somewhere. Let them know, hey, you know, this is a pretty good channel. YouTube channel's free. You don't have to spend any money if you don't want to. And just let people know, because I want this to blow up. And now being a part of Pro Wrestling TV, you know, you will see the shows tweak a little bit. But in a good way, you'll see it more organized going forward. And I'm just excited to see where this goes. And, you know, the great thing about this is focus. You know, there's no outside drama. There's no fighting or feuding. I control. I hate that people get angry when I say this. I don't just mean it as a, you know, little tribute to the promotion. But I mean this for real as well. I'm controlling my narrative. And I think everyone out there should always control your narrative. You know, sure, you can compromise if you're doing business with others. But at some point, you got to focus on A number one, yourself. And yes, you appreciate people that you grow with along the way. But you also got to remember that at the end of the day, you got to worry about yourself. And, you know, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you know, people aren't going to take notice. And like I said, it's amazing, you know, to have people contact me. Hey, you know, and I could tell who really tunes into the shows and I could tell who don't. I've gotten other business opportunities. But when they say to me, hi, Mr. Anthony, or no, Mr. Tony, or they'll say, Don, I love your show, you know, Mr. Tony. And I realize they're just looking at the channel and it says Don Tony. They think my first name is Don and my last name is Tony, you know, Mr. Tony. So anybody that writes to me, Mr. Tony, I know that they don't know any shit about my channel at all. So somebody actually said Mr. Blossy one time. But all right. I'm out of here. Thank you as always, everybody. Be well. Have a good night. I hope you join me Wednesday, 10:05, right after Dino. It's going to be fun coming back here and doing the Wednesday show again. It's been a couple of months, but you know, we'll have a return show, and Wednesday will be my official debut on Pro Wrestling TV. So Wednesday, look out for the press releases. I know they're going to make a big deal about it. I'm going to be plastered right next to the Inspiration, the Iconics. You go to the channel now and you look around, you're going to be like, wait a minute. Like, everybody there is a big deal. It's either a big promotion or it's famous people. And I look at it just like Blue Wire. I'm like, I'm right smack in the middle between Sam Roberts, Chris Van Vliet, Gallows and Anderson, JD from New York, Roppongi Vice. One half of Roppongi Vice does a podcast too. There's only seven podcasts and I'm surrounded by them. And I'm like, why me? You're like, I don't get it. But, hey, you all keep tuning in. We'll keep banging these out. So thank you, everybody. Have a good night. And look, if everything works out, September 12th, you will see Don Tony shaking hands with the Don Tony of NXT. So somebody's working on it. I don't know if they'll come through, but I'm going to be in Florida that week, and I have someone who's getting in touch with WWE to see if they will give me a little bit of a private tour of the complex, get to meet some of the stars, and I want a photo op with Tony D'Angelo. I want Don Tony and Don Tony to be together. We'll see. Fingers crossed. Guero G, thank you very much for that, my friend. I thank you very much. I thank you all, and good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.